We're doing the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot. We're up to page Chav Zayin Amud Beis in the Standard Editions and page Pei Beis in the Frankel Editions. And the Standard Editions, it's two lines above the letter Lamed Aleph in the Ramban. And in the Frankel Editions, it's in the left-hand column, three lines from the bottom. So we had been discussing Halachal Moshe Misinai, and the Ramban had brought proofs that Halachal Moshe Misinai is treated as Doraisa. Aval yesh lehem bazeh atnai, but when it comes to Halachal Moshe Misinai, Chazal do have the following stipulation, Shein danin kal vachomer me'alacha, that you cannot derive a kal vachomer from Halachal Moshe Misinai. Even though Halachal Moshe Misinai has great weight in Halacha, and we treat it as Doraisa, but in this, it is different than something written overtly in the Torah, in this point that you cannot derive Halachal Moshe Misinai from it. Moshamru b'psachim uvenazir, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Psachim, in Tractate Nazir, Amalo Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, how do you derive a kal vachomer from that? Etzem kesora halacha. Virvi'it tam kal vachomer. You want to learn a kal vachomer from a bone. The Torah tells us that a person that passes away is mitame. We have Halachal Moshe Misinai, that if you have a bone, the minimal size, the size of a se'ora, the size of a kernel of barley, so then that bone is mitame. So that's Halachal Moshe Misinai, that shear, that we say shiurin, chatzitzin, umchitzin, Halachal Moshe Misinai. Three things we say are Halachal Moshe Misinai. Shiurim, the measurements, kezayis, kakotevet agasan, Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat the volume of, you're not allowed to eat anything, but kares is if you eat the volume of a fat date. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to take out the size of a fig of food, and for that you get kares. So shiurim, the different measurements in the halachos, that's Halachal Moshe Misinai. Same thing with chatzitin, some aspects of the laws of chatzitza when a person goes to mikvah. You say the hair has to, can't have a chatzitza, and you say it has to be rubo makbid olav. Halachal Moshe Misinai tells you it's only a chatzitza if the majority of the body, the whole body has to go into the mikvah waters. Now, what happens if the guy has something on his body? He has a little bit of glue or something on his body. So then we say, the Halacha, the Moshe Misinai teaches us, it has to be rubo makbid olav. It has to be that the, biblically, in order for it to be a chatzitza, it must be that most of the body, or most of the head, chatzitza is something that separates between the body and the water. Meaning the whole body must be immersed in the water. If there's a chatzitza, if there's something that separates between the body and the water, for example, if there's something stuck onto him, a guy went to mikveh and he didn't realize he had a little bit of glue on his hands, so then we say if it's rubo, if it encompasses most of his body or most of his hair, umakbid olav, and he would rather not be there, then it's a chatzitza. What happens if it's rubo ve'ino makbid olav? A woman dyes her hair. So all her hair is covered with this color, you know, her hair isn't coming in contact with the water. There's a thin layer of color that's covering her hair. So that's rubo veino makbid olav, or makbid olav shehiye. You want it there. It's not that you don't want it there. So that's for sure not a chatzitza doraisa, and whether it's rabbanon or not, every person will ask the local Orthodox rabbi. But at any rate, so we have these three things, shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin, the laws of mechitza. We have laws in the mechitza, that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high, that you could say good in a mechitza, you can say the mechitza as though it continues once you have the minimum size, that you have lavud, that if you're missing, if you have a gap of under 3 tefachim, you consider it like that gap is filled, dofen akuma, that if you have a mechitza, and then you're missing some schach, you have some non-kosher schach, under 4 amos, you treat it as though it's a continuation of the wall. So we have these laws of mechitza, which are also Halachal Moshe Misinai. One of the shiurim that's Halachal Moshe Misinai is etzem kesora, that bone the size of a kernel of barley is metame. That's Halachal Moshe Misinai. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to learn a kal vachomer from a bone to revius dam. If you have a revius, the volume of a revius, like we have for Kiddush, for Bracha Achrona, you have the volume of a revius of blood. So he wanted to derive some of the laws from the bone to the revius dam. So he wanted to learn kal vachomer. And Rabbi Chanina said to him, "The end anin kal vachomer malacha. You can't derive a kal vachomer from that. That's Halacha Moshe Misinai. So you see, there's this concept that although Halacha Moshe Misinai is treated as biblical, but in this aspect it's not, that you can't learn a Kal Vachomer from it.
We don't learn Kal Vachomer from the examples itself, but from the rulings?
You cannot learn a Kal Vachomer from a Halacha Moshe Misinai. From a halacha, which you only know from a halacha Moshe Misina.
So, how the rabbis, they have all these kinds of laws coming from. They need, when they do a psak, they need to find a source. So, source will be, of course, the halacha Moshe Misina.
No. Halacha Moshe Misina is specific things, are specific
okay,
things.
So, they will get through the.
The halacha Moshe Misina is very often a detail in the halacha. Like here, that the volume of the measurement of the bone is Halacha Moshe Misinai. The fact that a body is metame tuma soil, we know from the Torah. But if you want to learn a Kal Vachomer from that measurement to another measurement, then you're learning Kal Vachomer from Halacha Moshe Misinai, and that you can't do. But you could learn the Gzeres Shava from Halacha Moshe Misinai. Kamo Shamu Sham, as the Talmud says over there, El Amarava Gamar Moadom Adomi Pesach Linyan Tumata Tohom, that you do learn Gzeres Shava. It says the word Moado over there, meaning in its set time, with regard to Tumata Tohom. There's a concept called Tumata Tohom. When you have Tumah, that's like, Tohom is like the depths. If you have a Tumah that no one knew about, it was way down in the bottom of the ocean. No one knew about it, but everyone passed over it. So then it has special halachos, how we treat it, when we'll find out. So there we learn the halachos from Gzeres Shava, Moado, Moado. Okay, so this is the Ramban's, on the one end, he's saying, so it's not 100% biblical, because you see, you can't apply Kal Vachomer. On the other hand, the fact that you apply Gzeres Shava, that's again a proof to the Ramban that you treat Halacha Moshe Misinai as though it's biblical. Right, but when I compare two words that are written, I can sometimes take a halacha that's by one concept, that's halacha Moshe Misina by that concept, and apply it to the other case. The word connects two halachos, right? Now, what do I derive from that connection? So, what the Ramban is saying, from that connection I can derive that if in case A, there's Halacha Moshe Misinai that obligates such and such. So then case B that has the equal word will also have that obligation.
Halacha Moshe Misinai is dealing with the topic of that pursuit.
Right. 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 Okay. There's room to go in depth here because there's a big tosis on this concept. Can you do Gzeres Shava with Halacha Moshe Misinai? How that works? But I don't think that's you guys want to go into it. Let's move on. V'chen mash katav Rav Baikar Rishon. Now I want to also discuss what the Rabbi, meaning the Rambam, what Maimonides wrote in his first principle. Shekol ma shesidru toan ve'im ha'omdim achar Moshe hukmo chen midrabanan. The Rambam had said that anything that was instituted by the prophets after Moshe is also rabbinic. Okay, that seems obvious. If you have an institution by the prophets, Isaiah or King Solomon or David HaMelech, that would be rabbinic. And the Rambam brought proofs from the following halachos. You have Eruvin, meaning you have that's an institution of Shlomo HaMelech, V'yadayim, and washing one's hands, Shetiken Shlomo, that those are institutions of King Solomon, V'nikrein D'Rabbanan. And you see the Talmud calls them rabbinic. V'zeh ha'inyanu chozel ba'ikar hazeh. So this comes back to this principle. U'lefi dati shegam zeh einenu kmo shechashav. And I think, says the Ramban, that on this point, it also isn't the way the Rambam thought. אבל מה שתיקן שלמה שתקנו הנביאים ולא נכתב במקרא בנבואה הוא בלא ספק מדבריהם. But I want to say like this. If you have an institution of Shlomo or an institution of the prophets, but it's not written in any verse, it's not written in prophetic verse, it's not written in the prophets, so then undoubtedly that's going to be rabbinic. ומכללן, included in this concept, included in this rule, would be Eruvin v'yadayim. Like the Rambam said, I agree that Eruvin is Drabonon, I agree that Netilas Yadayim is rabbinic. וכן מעשרות של עמון ומואב, and the same holds true with taking Miser from the territories of Ammon and Moab on the eastern side of the Jordan. Biblically, you don't have to. The rabbis instituted that you should take off Miser on the eastern side of the Jordan. Kwan Shashaninu b'masecht Yadayim. L'inyan ma'asot shechutz al ha'aretz Mitzrayim, ma'aseh zkenim u'bavel, ma'aseh nevi'im. The Mishnah says in Yadayim, when it comes to Miseros of Chutz La'aretz, Mitzrayim in the land of Egypt, that our elders instituted Maestros over there. And Babylon was an institution of the prophets. The prophets instituted that you take off Maestro in Babylon. Really, there is no concept of any holiness or any mitzvos pertaining to the fruits and chutzarts. You don't have trumas and maestros. Maybe you have orla, okay? I don't remember what I said there.
The thing is, according to this, it's problematic too, that I remember written in Gemara's Tanis that the reason why it's not biblical is because when they came back, they didn't re-sanctify it to its full amount. Meaning that before the first exile, it was obligated
Let's look at the Gemara again.
Ammon and Moab, if you live there, you don't have to do
On the eastern side of the Jordan, so Moshe Rabbeinu conquered that territory from the Ammonites. So Moshe didn't conquer it, but later on, that territory of Ammon and Moab. וכולם נקראים מדבריהם, and all of this Meiser, taking off Meiser and Chutzarts is rabbinic. וכן הנכתב במקרא בדרך מעשה מן המעשים, and things that are written in Tanakh, but they're recorded, not in commandment, it doesn't record that you're commanded to do something, but the story is recorded. כגון מה שקיבלו עליהם מן המעשרות אפילו בפירות האילן וירק, for example, that Am Yisrael took on themselves to take off Miser on fruits and vegetables, which were rabbinic institutions, because only things that are like Dagon, Tirush, and Yitzar have biblical obligation to take off Miser. You have to take off Miser on your olive oil, you have to take off Miser on your wine, but you don't have to take off Miser on your apples, biblically. That's a rabbinic institution. Kedichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Uvifrotz Hadavar, Yirbu Bnei Yisrael Masar Dagon, Tirush, Veitzar, V'chol Tvotz Hasadeh L'Rov. The Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim that they took it upon themselves to take off of all their bounty Miser. Ukmo shemforash b'gmar nedarim zeh kulo min drabanan, and as the Talmud tells us in Nedarim, all these things are rabbinic. So although these things are mentioned in the Pasuk, so say there, but they're mentioned in the Pasuk in story form. The Pasuk doesn't say you're commanded to do it. The Pasuk says this is what they did then. B'chen shvot Shabbat. And so too, the rabbinic institutions of Shabbos were instituted in the days of Ezra and his court. And among the institutions, it's like it says in Nehemiah, that these foreigners, they were living there, and they'd bring the fish and all kinds of stuff, and they'd sell it to the Jews in Jerusalem on Shabbos. וכמו שאמרו בימי נחמיה בן חכליה נשנית משנה זו, התירו וחזרו והתירו וכולו בגמר שבת. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Then in the days of Nehemiah, Nehemiah tried to get them to keep Shabbos, and they gave him a hard time. They said, where does it say you can't do business on Shabbos? Show us in the Torah. So Nehemiah said, okay, you're not allowed to do business, you're not allowed to touch money, you're not allowed to touch your tools on Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch a fork or a knife on Shabbos, can't touch anything. So he went all out. He instituted muktzah all the way out. And then when he saw that they got the hint, so he said, okay, you could use a fork on Shabbos. Each time they made it a little bit lighter, until it reached where it is today. Because all these different institutions were stringencies and things they accepted that the rabbis instituted to protect the Torah aside from other institutions that Ezra made. So he says, so far I agree with the Rambam. All these are rabbinic, and even though some of them have mentioned in the Tanakh, but they're mentioned in story form, so they're rabbinic. Granted, fine. Same holds true for all the blessings that Ezra and his court instituted on Sheikh Nesta Gdolah, his court, the men of the Great Assembly. I agree, they're all rabbinic, undoubtedly. And I'll even grant the Rambam that even the Moshe Rabbeinu's institutions, the things he made as takanos, are also rabbinic. Kmo she'amru, as the Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud says, Moshe tikenem shivat yimei hamishteh v'shivat yimei avelut. Moshe instituted for the Jewish people 7 days of partying after marriage, 7 days of mourning after death. V'emid rabbanan, and they're rabbinic. Kmo she'amru, as the Talmud tells us, halacha k'divrei mekel be'evel. The halacha is like the more lenient opinion whenever it comes to avelus. Now this, the Ramban's, he said a mouthful here. Firstly, because there's a machlokas about avelus. The Torah talks about avelus. The Torah says a person has to declare on his maestros, I didn't need it when I was an onen. The lo natati mimenu lemet. It says onen is a person who lost a relative before he buried him. And the Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen and the other Kohanim, they have special halachos. When they lose their relatives, they have to Aaron the Kohen Gadol has to continue doing his work. He doesn't have to stop. He doesn't have to cover his hair, his head. He doesn't have to do all kinds of things. He doesn't have to tear his clothing. So the Torah certainly indicates that there is such a concept. And so even in the Talmud, it's not so clear. The Talmud discusses an individual's mitzvah, public's mitzvah. The Talmud certainly seems to refer to mourning on the first day as something that's biblical. And so it's a big machlokas Rishonim whether Avelos is completely rabbinic. Many Rishonim hold that Avelos on the first day is biblical. So when the Ramban writes here in such a simple form, and Avelos is all rabbinic, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's institution, it's not so clear. We see already from the days of Yaakov Avinu, Vayas Laviv Evel Gadol, he made a huge mourning. It says they mourned Moshe, they mourned Aaron. So you'll tell me those are all stories. Fine, but you have the halachos of Kohanim. You do have places that the laws of mourning are mentioned, and even in the Gemara it's not clear. So that's point number one. Point number two is a different point. So if you have a question on this.
I have a question. So if we say that Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says is from Hashem, so how do we understand that this takana was made by Moshe Rabbeinu?
Who said everything Moshe Rabbeinu said was from Hashem?
I've been asking Rabbi Zer, so what about
everything he said in the Torah is from Hashem. But when someone sneezed and he said, God bless you, I don't know if that was from Hashem. Right?
Okay, so what about the Chavra of Korach? So when Hashem says, you know, bring incense, bring fire pans. So Moshe was saying, it was telling them to do something that's forbidden.
So obviously Hashem was with Mane.
Okay, but there are some opinions that says that Moshe said it by his own will, no?
I'm unaware of that.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know.
No, that's the way I learned. And therefore Moshe says, if they die a different death, meaning that they were if they die a normal death, they're still the same people. If they die a different death, they had a chance to do tshuva, therefore they
show me.
Okay.
No, if there are two leaders, they won't die. If they're false leaders, they would die. And the pans were made into something holy. It was made kadosh, but the fire.
Right.
It went together and it became holy.
The second thing the Ramban mentioned, halacha kedivrei mekel be'evel, so that's a rule in the laws of avelus. Avelus are the laws of mourning. The halacha is kedivrei hamekel, like the lenient opinion, in the laws of mourning. Now, the Ramban seems to be grouping that with the rule that safek draban on the kula, that in areas of rabbinics you go to kula. From the Gemara and from many of the Rishonim, it certainly seems lenient. It certainly seems like this rule is a more powerful rule. And the first proof that the Rishonim themselves say is that if this would be part of the more general concept that in rabbinic areas you go the kula, you don't need such a rule. So just say, the halacha is like the lenient opinion, because it's all rabbinic. If it is the way the Ramban said, then what do we need a special rule? In Avel, the halacha is like the lenient opinion. And that's why, the halacha, we often apply this, halacha k'divrei mekel be'evel. And it carries more weight, and it applies even in instances where you would not say safek drabanan nekula. It carries a lot of weight to the point where sometimes you have two arguing opinions, and ordinarily you would paskin like one, but we go like the other because we say halacha kedivrei mekel be'evel. We say it overrides other rules of psak. It's not like a regular safek drabanan nekula. Okay. Yeah.
So what is the kula on avilut? So if you are in doubt, that you're saying that could be applied to avilut, then safek kula.
Safek drabanan lekula certainly could be applied. Question about the first day, whether it's doraita
right
or not. But aside from the first day, yes. Question is, what do you go further than that?
So that tool can also be applied to Mukta if we are not sure if both things should be touched.
We didn't discuss a situation where you don't know what to do. We discussed a situation where the psak, we have to decide how to paskin. We're not discussing an individual not knowing what to do. V'chen amru, and so too we find that the Talmud tells us in Megillah, in the end of the Masechet, Moshe tiken lem l'Yisrael shiyu shualim v'dorshim minyano shel yom. Moshe instituted for Israel that they should ask and learn about the laws of each holiday when it comes. Hilchot Pesach, Pesach Hilchot Atzeret, Atzeret Hilchot Chag B'Chag. Moshe instituted that you learn the halachos of Pesach, Pesach time, the halachos of Shavuos, Shavuos time, the halachos of Sukkot, Sukkot time. So you see, Moshe made institutions, and they're not biblical. It's not. No one thinks it's part of the mitzvahs. So until now, he said, on all this, I agree with the Rambam. But, and here's the big but, and we'll pick up here in a minute.